Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. After freeing the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, it was frustrating for God to watch as they were repeatedly drawn to Lucifer's temptations like flies to honey. Mankind's free will gave them the autonomy to reject God's love and faithfulness and embrace Satan's propaganda. This is what happened with the adult generation to the point that God threatened to kill them. It was only Moses' intervention that saved them after they abandoned the land of Canaan. Korah's failed rebellion fired up the camp again, and Jesus had to intervene to save Moses. It didn't matter whether the Hebrews were loved or punished. They were hell-bent on doing their own thing, and this is why Jesus instituted spiritual laws of personal accountability that would allow an individual to avoid godly retribution. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, we're going to be talking about a disaster that happened some 4,000 years ago, but still is very real to you and me today. Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 14. That's Numbers chapter 14. And we're going to go back and recap what we talked about here last week. So, I want you to see something today that we're looking at. God, in the beginning, when he took the people out of Egypt, had what he called it corporate punishment. He punished everybody. But this is going to be a shift now that happened in the desert, where God said, I am no longer going to punish people as a nation, as a group. It's going to be on an individual basis. In Numbers 14 and verse 11 and 12, we had the people were upset. And they were simply said, we can't get into the promised land. In verse number 10, they were ready to stone Moses and Aaron. And so God had to intervene, and we find that in verse number 11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them in the pestilence and disinherit them, make of you a great nation and mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for you brought the people in your might from among them. They will tell the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that you, Lord, are among a people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, that your cloud stands over them, that you go before them by daytime in the pillar of a cloud, in the pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill all these people as one man, then the nation will have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land, which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great, according to as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy, and as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Moses was interceding for the people, and he appealed for mercy. Moses had a genuine love for the people. He was a political leader, but in one way he was more of a pastor than Aaron. Aaron was a milquetoast. He just went this way or that way. Moses had character. And he looked upon the people and he realized, these are sheep. They don't know what they're doing. God have mercy on them. And this is where people are today. We have drugs coming into this country. I've been around for a few years. And we have here in California a generation, I would say that they're between 35 and up. These are white people. They got wiped out by drugs, different types of drugs. You got the amphetamines. You got the LSD. If you grew up and down in the valley here in California, you would find these people, these are men now that are older, but their lives were destroyed as teenagers, and they never recovered. The churches were not really equipped for it. The government actually helped out the drug dealers, just like today. Drugs are floating into our country. They pick up a few things here and there, but the majority goes. The opiates, it's another story. Destruction. Now, what did God say? I want you to see in there the heart of Jesus, which was the heart of the Father. In verse number 20, and the Lord said, I have pardon according to your word. Catch that. Jesus said this. I have pardoned them according to your word, Moses. In other words, Moses' prayer saved the people. My question to you is this. How much time do you spend in prayer for the ungodly? We can criticize people. We don't like people. And we don't pray for people. And when we don't pray, then the Holy Spirit is not working. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth should be filled with the glory of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm going to prevail. It's going to be my glory on the Lord. And today the gospel is preached all over. There's persecution in China, persecution in many different countries, but the gospel is preached. Verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them provoke me to see it. My servant Caleb, because he had not a spirit with him, and the father may follow him, will I bring to the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites, the Canaanites, dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake to Moses' name, saying, how long shall I bear with the evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all of them numbered among you, according to what number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. They shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcass shall have fallen in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, and your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. And the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation. They are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. There come a time when God simply said, enough is enough. We had a lady here in the ministry, goes back about 5-6 years. And, matter of fact, you're in the chapel, but you go out, you can actually see her picture on the wall. We celebrated her birthday while she was still alive. This was a black lady. She's very pretty, very well educated. She was a registered nurse. But she simply could not get along with her parents and her siblings. She carried a chip on her shoulder. And when she got here, she simply said, I don't want you to contact my mom and dad. I don't want nobody to know where I'm at. I'm done with them. She married an older man, was an alcoholic. She divorced him. And she moved up here to Sacramento. We took her through deliverance, and she simply tried to start a new life, but she would not forgive. So it didn't matter how much we talked to her, she's determined, no, I'm done. So a few years ago, she was in a church, and then she got mad at us, and she simply said, you know, I'm not going to stay in the church. There's not enough people there. I need to talk with people. And the people in the church are not that friendly. And we try to be friendly. So she left. 2 years later, I got a call from her. Her name was Erica. And she said, Pastor John, I have cancer. I don't have long to live. Can you come and visit? So I and I did visit. And we told her we loved her. We always loved her. And so she came back here. She was in the congregation here for a little while before she got too ill. And I told her this, you have to forgive. You cannot have this unforgiveness. You cannot have this rage in you. Well, she contacted her mother. Her mother flew out here. They had a reconciliation. She flew back, saw her dad, had a reconciliation. She reconciled with everybody. But here's the point. It was too late. She was forgiven. She will not have to answer for this at the judgment seat of Christ. But she lost her physical life. It cost her. And so, this is the same thing with these people here we had in the wilderness. They thought they could do this or that and so on and just ask for forgiveness. And God said, well, I will forgive you, but you're going to die in the wilderness. It is so important that you understand spiritual laws. Jesus said, if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus also said this. This is one of the great commandments. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love the Lord, God, with all your heart and life. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you can't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. And Erica didn't like herself. At the end, she was at peace. She's with God now. She's saved. She was only 40 years old when she died. She could have lived another 30 years and done a lot of things on earth. But God pulled the plug. Remember this. Don't think because you're 20 or 30, 40 years old that, you know, there's no problem. God will pull a plug on you if you're not lined up with Him. So now they worked in the flesh. Back on the outline, the people mourned greatly when they heard God's judgment. They did not want to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and they decided to take the matter in their own hands by moving in and possessing the promised land. Moses warned them it would be a disastrous failure, but Lucifer deceived them again. They were soundly beaten by the Canaanites. And let's look at verse number 39. I read a couple of verses. And Moses told his saints and all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning, get them up at the top of the mountain, saying, "Lo, we be here. We'll go up into the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But you shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites, the Canaanites, are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up. Presumption. Assumption. To go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed out of the camp. Then the Amalekite came down, and the Canaanites who dwelt in that hill smote them and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. When you try to do something in the flesh, it will not work. If God has called you to do something in the past, you did not do what you're supposed to do. You took a detour, did whatever you wanted to do. And then you said, "Okay, I'm going to go back to my original vision. I'm going to go back and do what God said I was going to do." God might say, "No, it's over. That was yesterday. You blew it. Forget that. I have something else for you. I have plan B for you." Some people are in plan C. Some are in plan D. But remember this. You got to stay in the anointing. And you got to recognize there are times you can't go back. Now, Satan was determined to take down Moses. You realize that Satan hated Moses. He was not beloved in the kingdom of Satan. And so, Satan will always raise up an adversary. Most likely, it will be a relative to you. Because that hurt the most. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleus, son of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation and renowned. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you yourself above the congregation of the Lord?" And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. It's one thing They rebelled. And then Moses realized, this is my cousin. He got 300 well-known people in the congregation. They are simply challenging me. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spoke unto Korah and to his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who it is, who is holy and will cause him to come near to him, even him who has chosen what he caused to come near to him. This do, take your senses, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord has chose, he shall be holy. You took too much upon you, you sons of Levi. And then Moses talked to them here, and he simply said, why are you doing this? In verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land that flourished with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except you make yourself altogether prince over us? Verse 13 is a lie. That was not the land in Egypt of milk and honey. They were slaves. They barely had food to eat. And this is what Satan always does. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to where you were before. It's safe. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Total rebellion. And Moses was very wroth and said to the Lord, respect not their offerings. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses to Korah, be you and all your company before you, the Lord, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. Verse number 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I might consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, or will you be wroth with all the congregation? And those said to Moses, saying, speak in the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan, Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, tabernacles or tents on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of the tents, their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby shall you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men died a common death of men, or if they visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, swallow them up with only a pertin unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then shall you understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that was round about them fled in the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now, this is a great display of power. You would think now that the other people that were left would say, okay, Moses, forgive us. But you know what they did, what Satan did? He put into their mind, Moses used witchcraft, and he killed them. We read here in verse number 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, you killed the people of the Lord. With other words, the congregation has still not understood that Korah was not a god. He was a false prophet. And they simply said to Moses, you killed God's people. Look upon where we are today in churches. Look upon the upside down situation in the world. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Black is white, and white is black. It's the opposite. It's a spirit. And then we read in that last of the chapter, and Moses realized, these people now really got God upset. Verse 46, said Moses to Aaron, take his censer, put fire in from off the altar, put on incense, and go quickly to the congregation and make an atonement for them. For as wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran to the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. As we talked about the virtual time run, I'm on second page on my outline here. The final law for Israel. It didn't matter whether the Hebrews were loved or punished. Neither course of action yielded a favorable result. They were hell-bent on doing their own thing. As a result, that God had decided to enforce a spiritual law which would allow individuals to choose blessings or curses in their life. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28. So let me go back and revisit World War II for a second. I told you that 80 million people died. These are Americans, British, Germans, Russians, civilian soldiers. They lost their lives. Were most of them sinners? Not necessarily. But they had to pay for the sins of the world government. Did they all go to hell? No. People could repent. There were chaplains. There were many people that cried out and got saved in the battles and before the battles. But here's what I want you to take home with you today now. God is simply saying this to you. Right now, America is being punished. As a nation, we are being punished. We had prosperity 2 years ago, and we didn't appreciate it. The nation had really not turned to God. There was no revival. Instead, people used the money to spend on themselves, more vacation, buy this, buy that, buy this, and so on. And God said, okay, I'll take it away. Now people are mourning. Can God bless us in the middle of this? Yes. He can and He will. You write your own ticket. Let me repeat that again. You are here on earth, maximum 120 years. The average lifespan is about 75 to 80. You write your own ticket. You can either write the ticket that is going to be blessing you, or you write a ticket that's going to destroy you. The choice is yours. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read this. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. How do we do his commandments? Step one, getting saved. That is the will of God, to get saved. And then to start walking with him. Have you ever met a man that says, you know, I'm going to get married next week. I got this nice woman. We're going to get married. And after his wedding, he says, okay, I'm going to go now. I got some stuff to do. I'll be back in a year. I call you from time to time. I send you some money from time to time. Would you think that that wife would simply say, wow, what a wonderful husband. Married him. He's gone. But he will send some money. You throw the money in the offering plate. He will call from time to time. Yeah, you pray from time to time. But you have no intention to walk with God. That man has no intention to walk with his wife. He might well show up, get her pregnant, take off again. And, you know, it's a wonderful marriage for him. No responsibility. And that's how most Christians live their lives. You get married to Jesus, got saved. And then you simply say, well, Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. I'm glad I'm going to go to heaven. But you know, Jesus, I'm busy. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to do stuff like this. You know, I will put some money in the offering plate from time to time. I will pray from time to time. But don't expect me to walk with you all the time. You think that God likes that? Do you think that God says, oh, wonderful. He's going to simply say this. If that's what you want to do, fine. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forget you. Don't call me when you are sick. I'm going to simply say, oh, you are sick? You want me to help you now? Where were you yesterday? Whoever you're walking with, call the devil. Call the people you're partying with. Call whoever it is. Ask them to help you. So God simply said this, and all these blessings shall come on you, overtake you, if you shall hearken, that means listen, unto the voice of your Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in a city, blessed shall you be in a field, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Now, if you look at this chapter, we go all the way up here to verse number 13, where God said, these are the blessings. That's great. But in verse number 14, it says, you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you shall not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, I'm not going to read this curse list. But if you think about it this way, we start in verse number 16, and the curses continued all the way up to verse number 68. That's a lot of curses. But here's what God told the Israelites. You have a choice. You follow me, you get saved, you obey me, and I'm going to bless your socks off. You go against me, and nothing shall work out for you. I curse you to the hills. Now, what did the people do of Israel? The majority of them, for the next 2,000 years plus, simply said, God, hang it in your ear. We're not going to follow you. Have you ever wondered why the Jewish people, when we say Jewish people, that include all the 12 tribes, why are they so hated in this planet, on this planet? Why has it gone so bad for them? Why did they lose their land? 722, the northern tribe lost their land. 590, the southern tribe lost their land, never got it back. You've had one massacre after another. You got the Holocaust. You got all these problems right now. Why are the Jews cursed? You ever asked that? And the answer is, who did they reject? In Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, the high priest stood there and said, let his blood come upon us and upon our children, but crucify him. Well, that, they pray that. And the curses written in Deuteronomy is following every poor Jew that is born, unless they come to Christ. Isn't that sad? What about us, Gentiles? I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, in the New Testament now. And I want to show you something. It's 2 Thessalonians, slowly getting up there. Here we're coming closer. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And we'll read it on the summary. Let me read this statement. As if God had passed the virtual time run again, they realized humanity's free will was going to doom most of them to death and destruction. The Godhead could not force mankind to believe in God, since Lucifer would object to it. You are up against an adversary that you cannot match. You got Lucifer, the devil. You got fallen angels. You got evil spirits. They're more powerful than you are. They've been around on this planet for 6,000 years. And messed with humans. They can read your mind. They can mess with you. And the only way to be able to have victory is in Christ. That's the only way. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 8, we read this. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice in verse 10 now, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. When you say no to God, when you say no to Bible truth, then for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Here's a danger for you. God said this, I'm going to give you truth. You got the Bible. I'm going to tell you what is truth. But if you reject it, he said, then I will send you strong delusion. Next verse. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Have you ever talked to Jehovah's Witness? You know, you can't. It doesn't matter what you tell a Jehovah's Witness. He says, no, I have the truth. You ever talk to a Mormon? Oh, we got the truth. You ever talk to a Muslim? Oh, we got the truth. When people reject the truth, God said, I send them strong delusion. They're strong demonic forces. And they will swear that what they know is truth. We have a friend of ours that helped us out. He's a contractor. Have you been witnessing to him, my brother and I? And I proved to him that Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, were criminals, crooks, murderers, thieves. And he said, well, that might so be. I asked him this. Think about this. You're going to put your faith in two crooks and trust that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. I said, that is pretty scary. And you know what he said? Well, we've been Mormons in the family for about 5 or 6 generations. You know, once a Mormon, one all's a Mormon. I said, do you realize you've got two crooks that wrote books that is not true? And you're putting your faith in them? I said, yes. He's a good carpenter. He's a good contractor. He can do anything. Excellent work. Smarter. Political stuff? Oh, he knows it in 10 fingers. But he has a spirit of delusion. And I told him, what a shame that a guy like you, to be around us, we love you, you had to go to hell and lake of fire because you cannot shake loose. When you get a spirit that God sends you of delusion because you rejected it, it's going to take a miracle. Somebody got to pray you out because you cannot even pray yourself out. Amen. I'm praying for that guy. But this is how dangerous it is. And then we read this. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If you have the truth, you walk in with God and Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Let me have my closing scriptures in Matthew chapter 7. And I want to pick it up from verse number 13. Enter into the straight gate, and that means narrow gate. For wide is the gate, that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight or narrow is a gate. And narrow is a way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. I remember some years ago, I was talking to my aunt, my mom's side. She was always nice to me and Peter when we were small. She gave us money. She gave us some good stuff. We stayed in the house and so on. She was very nice and loving. In one of my last years, I was in Wind, Sweden, and she was older. And I talked to her. And I said, her name was Ingrid. I said, Aunt Ingrid, I said, I would like to share Jesus with you. You were so nice to me. And I want you to know about Jesus. And you know what she told me? Don't give me that S. Oh, look at her. Aunt Ingrid, again, don't give me that S. I don't want to hear it. She died. Unless she repented, she's in hell. Her husband, we tried to witness to him. He was not interested. We got a cousin on his left. I witnessed to him over the years. My brother has witnessed him over the years. He's up in his 70s. And just like his parents, he doesn't want nothing to do with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They had money. We didn't have money, but they did. They were business people, very successful. They had bank accounts in Switzerland. And they had cars and stuff that we couldn't have. But you know what? They left it all. And today, if she didn't repent in hell, she's simply cursing herself. How could I call Jesus for S? And she's crying. But it's too late. If you're listening today to the gospel and you feel convicted, that means the Holy Spirit is working with you. And what I want you to do is this. If you need to repent, that today is a good day to repent. Today is a good day to take an inventory. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian that is distanced with Jesus? Or are you married to Jesus and close to him? It will determine what God can do with you. If you listen to me today and you say, I'm not saved. I don't know why I listen to this broadcast, but I'm not saved. Well, you're listening to this broadcast because God wants you to be saved. How hard is it to get saved? Very simple. Just confess that you are a sinner. That's easy. Confess that you need to be saved. Make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, paid for your sins on the cross. And you can simply say, Father God, I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, come on in and save me. And he will. When we finish up here today, the screen will change on your computer or your television. You see three crosses coming up. And you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell. And he will say, my friend. And he will lead you for a few minutes. Some more scriptures. Pray with you to make sure that you are born again today. If you do that, would you call us? Would you write us? You have the information on the website. Let us know that you came to Christ so we can pray with you and talk to you, encourage you, send you some stuff. And if you're watching today or later, listening, whatever you are, and you say, I don't want to be like the Israelites that simply rebelled. I want to be like Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua. I want to be obedient. But I haven't done what I should have done. I haven't read the Bible that much. I haven't prayed. I haven't gone to church. I'm not growing. I'm just doing my own thing. You're the one that God wants to talk to today. And simply say, would you come home today, son, daughter, and say, forgive me for being a sloppy Christian. Forgive me for not walking close to you. Cleanse me. I rededicate my life. You do that today, and you're going to have the joy of the Lord flooding you. You know what to do. It's up to you to do it. And I pray that those of you that are not walking close with God will take that chance today and simply say, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming home today. And with that, we're going to close in prayer. Here's Pastor Charles.
Father God, we're
reminded of the fact that even within the Israelite camp, when you had Korah, Dathan, Abram, that Lucifer, when he brings it in temptations, many times he brings in a counterfeit that closely resembles the real thing, but it's not. Father God, we ask for discernment. As we look around in society today, there's so much celebration of homosexuality, as they call it, Pride Month. And they talk about love, and that love wins, love, 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 love. And that, you know, God is love, and how can we be opposed to that? But Father God, help us to have discernment. Father, it says in your word that Lucifer himself appears as an angel of light. And how else will we know the difference without being able to discern good from evil, to know the voice of God or the voice of the devil? Help us, Father God, to have discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God.
The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, You're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 23rd part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, You Write Your Own Ticket. After freeing the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, Jesus watched as they were repeatedly drawn to Lucifer's temptations like flies to honey. Free will gave them the autonomy to reject God and embrace the propaganda put out by the devil. This is what happened with the adult generation to the point that God threatened to kill them. It was only Moses' intercession that saved them after they abandoned the land of Canaan. Korah's failed rebellion fired up the camp again, and Jesus released a plague that killed 14,700 people. It didn't matter whether the Hebrews were loved or punished. Neither course of action yielded a favorable result. They were simply hell-bent on doing their own thing. As a result, Jesus instituted spiritual laws which allowed the Israelites to be treated according to their free will. Personal accountability would allow the individual to avoid godly retribution as each person determined his or her eternal destiny. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1811. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.